Let me paint you a picture. It's Tuesday. Nothing catastrophic has happened. The world is still turning, but someone sent you a text with a period at the end instead of an exclamation point, and now you're in a full spiral trying to figure out what you did wrong. Or your boss skipped your name in a meeting shout out, and you spend the next 4 hours mentally drafting your resignation letter. Or your kid left their shoes in the middle of the floor again. And suddenly, you're not just annoyed about the shoes, but like you're literally questioning your entire parenting philosophy and whether you've completely failed as a human being. Sound familiar? Yeah, that's not a bad day. Those are your feelings driving the car. And here's the problem with letting your feelings drive. They don't have a license and they don't know where they're going, and they absolutely will take you somewhere you did not intend to end up. Emotional maturity is not about feeling less. It's not about being a stoic robot who never has a bad moment. It is about being the one in the driver's seat. Not your anxiety, not your wounded ego, not the version of you that formed the opinions at age 9 and never updated them. You. The grown, God-made, called-for-a-purpose you. That person needs to be making the decisions. And today, I want to talk about how to get them back behind the wheel. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is the rebellion season, and let me remind you why I started this, okay? Because things are not fine. The fucking world is on fire. The government is not your friend. Big food is engineering products specifically designed to make you sick and keep you coming back. Big pharma profits when you stay medicated and dependent. Big tech is selling your attention, your data, and your children's nervous systems to the highest bidder. And all of it works better when you are reactive, emotional, exhausted, and too overwhelmed to think clearly. A dysregulated population, that's a controllable population. That is not a conspiracy theory. That is a business model. So when I talk about emotional maturity, I'm not talking about self-help bullshit, okay? I'm talking about one of the things, the most genuinely rebellious things you could do in a culture designed to keep you triggered. Learning to regulate yourself, to respond instead of react, to make decisions from clarity instead of chaos, that is a direct threat to every system that profits from your dysregulation. We are 16 episodes deep into this rebellion, and I can feel the shift, and I hope you can too. I am Brandon Lynette, your favorite podcast host and now coach, and my message is clear. Your mess is your message. That thing that you're ashamed of, that experience that you went through, the thing that was meant to break you, the thing that you feel deeply, the thing that made you wonder if maybe you're too much, that is the message that someone needs to hear. And that message needs a regulated, clear-headed, emotionally mature person delivering it. So let's work on that today. And I'm still looking for aligned sponsors this season, okay? Brands that actually stand for integrity and health and sovereignty and truth. So please check the show notes if that is you. But now let's talk about getting your feelings out of the driver's seat. Emotions are information, they are not instructions. I'm gonna say that again. Emotions are information. Information. They are not instructions. I need you to repeat that. And then when you have a chance, you need to write it down because this is the whole show in one sentence. I literally could stop recording because that's really what I want your takeaway to be. Emotions are information. They're not instructions. Your feelings are just data. Data points that are, they're valuable, they're real, they're worth paying attention to, but they are not orders. Feeling angry doesn't mean you should send the angry email. Feeling scared doesn't mean the thing you're afraid of is actually dangerous. Feeling rejected doesn't mean you were actually rejected. Feeling overwhelmed doesn't mean you're incapable. The emotion is the signal, and what you do with it is the choice, and those are two completely different things. And the problem is that for most people, and especially if you're like me and your brain is just neurospicy craziness, the gap between feeling and doing is approximately 0 milliseconds. The emotion arrives and the action follows so fast that it just feels like one big event. Someone says something that lands wrong, and you're already responding before the front part of your brain, the part responsible for judgment and consequences. And wait, is this actually what I want to do right now? Before any of that has even checked in, the amygdala fired, the stress hormone spiked, and you were off. And now you're cleaning up the mess, wondering how the fuck you got there. And that gap, the space between stimulus and response, is where emotional maturity lives. And it can be built. It is not a personality trait that you either have or you don't. It is a skill, it's a practice, it's a muscle. And like every muscle, it gets stronger every time you use it. And after it, every time you let the feelings run the show instead, it's going to freeze up. It's going to disappear. And I want to talk about hustle culture for a second because it's directly responsible for a significant portion of emotional dysregulation epidemic that's going on right now. Hustle culture told you that exhaustion is a badge of honor, that busy equals important, that if you're not grinding, you're falling behind. And a whole generation of people bought that shit, wearing 60-hour weeks like a trophy, confusing movement with progress and calling depletion dedication. Here's the thing about running on empty. Empty people make terrible decisions. And it's not because they're bad people, because their prefrontal cortex is offline. Sleep deprivation, chronic stress, poor nutrition, zero margin. These are not just lifestyle inconveniences. This is a neurological impairment. A person running on 4 hours of sleep and three energy drinks is making decisions with the cognitive equivalent of a blood alcohol level that would get them arrested for driving. But we look at that person and we call them a hard worker. And Big Food loves this, by the way. They spent decades and billions of dollars engineering food that spikes your blood sugar, that crashes your energy and keeps you craving more and leaves your brain in a permanent low-grade fog. And a foggy brain is an emotional brain. A depleted nervous system cannot regulate. So you stay reactive, you stay impulsive, and stay exactly as easy to manipulate as they need you to be. This is not an accident. That is the product of their business model. And if you're neurospicy, emotional dysregulation, you guys, it's not a character flaw. It is a documented feature of how the brain is wired. Our brain in particular has differences in the circuits responsible for emotional regulation, which means the intensity of feelings is often amplified, and the natural braking system that slows the response is a lot weaker than a regular brain. It's not an excuse. I'm just giving you context because you cannot fix what you don't understand, and you cannot understand what you've been told is just you being too sensitive, too dramatic, too much. Listen, bitch, you were not too much. You're under-resourced, under-supported in a world that wasn't built for your nervous system. That's different, and it means the work isn't about feeling less. It's about building that infrastructure that gives you a response system of fighting chance. And this is going to show up when you fire off a response to a text before you finish reading it. When you make a major life decision, when you quit the job and the relationship, blow up the plan in the heat of an emotional moment, and then spend months untangling the consequences of a choice you made when your nervous system was at a five-alarm fire. It shows up in that self-abandonment pattern. And this one is sneaky. Self-abandonment looks like constantly overriding what your body and gut are telling you in order to manage someone else's emotional state. You're exhausted, but you say yes anyway because the guilt of saying no feels worse than the cost of saying yes. You're running on fumes, but you push harder because stopping feels like failure. You're clearly in a situation that isn't working, but you stay because the discomfort of staying is more familiar than the uncertainty of leaving. Imagine that you're on an airplane, and we have heard them say this over and over, the oxygen mask speech. Everybody put your own mask on before assisting others. Every single time. Every single flight, and every single time, the people who've never really heard it nod politely and immediately plan to help everyone else around them first. Because that's what good people do, right? Except no. What good people do is stay conscious long enough to actually be useful. A person who passes out from lack of oxygen helps no one. A person who runs themselves into the ground trying to be everything for everyone helps no one either. Self-care is not selfish. It is the prerequisite for being genuinely useful to anyone. And it's going to show up in your spiritual life too. And here's where I want to be direct. Jesus was the most emotionally mature person who ever walked the earth. And think about that, because he felt everything. The deepest level of grief, righteous anger, profound compassion, real joy. He cried at Lazarus's tomb. He flipped tables in the temple. He stayed up all night in the garden, sweating through his anxiety about what was coming. He did not suppress. He did not perform. He felt it fully and responded from his values, not from his wounds. He is the model. Not a stoic, not a people pleaser, Not someone who went along to get along. A man who was so rooted in who he was and who sent him that no amount of pressure or manipulation or threat could move him off his purpose. That is the goal. Not to feel nothing, but to be so grounded in your identity and your calling that your emotions inform your responses instead of hijacking them. And this is the rebellion framing that I need you to hear clearly. An emotionally immature population is the most useful thing that the powers could be could ask for. And think about it. Reactive people don't think critically. They respond to whatever is the loudest. That's why we see people constantly changing their virtue signaling flags. That's why we see, them repeating and regurgitating, triggering headlines. That's it. Triggered people don't build things. They stay in the exhausting loop of outrage and recovery. Dysregulated people don't lead movements. They get led by whoever knows how to push their buttons. You guys, the news cycle is engineered for this. Social media algorithms reward the most emotionally charged content because engagement equals revenue, and nothing engages like rage. Big tech built this machine, and big food feeds the machine, literally, with products, again, that are keeping your blood sugar unstable, keeping your mood predictable. And guess who's profiting from your anxiety? Yeah, big pharma, depression, and attention disorders that an overstimulated, undernourished, chronically stressed population produces at a scale, and the government at every level has figured out that a divided, emotionally reactive United States, ununited States, is for easier to control than a united, clear-headed one. So when you do this work, when you build the pause, regulate your nervous system, make decisions from values instead of wounds, you're opting out of a system that was built to keep you in it. And I'm not exaggerating. This is the rebellion, 16 episodes in, and this is the through line. Every single thing we've talked about this season has been about becoming the kind of person that system cannot touch. I want you grounded, healthy, financially sovereign, spiritually anchored, emotionally regulated, clear-eyed, and absolutely unwilling to outsource your life to people who profit from your confusion. Jesus said the truth will set you free. You guys, that's not just a fancy Instagram quote. It is a promise with a mechanism. When you know who the fuck you are, when you know who you truly belong to and what you're actually here to do, no algorithm, no fear campaign, no manufactured outrage can move you off of that. That is the life. That is the rebellion. So what you're going to do first is build the pause, literally. When you feel the charge coming, that spike, the heat, the urge to immediately respond, give yourself 90 seconds before you do anything. Not 90 minutes, 90 seconds. It's studies show, like, do the research. That's approximately how long the initial hormonal surge of an emotion takes to move through the body. If you can outlast the wave, you get to choose your response instead of just riding it wherever it goes. 90 seconds. That is the whole practice. I mean, set a fucking timer. And the second thing, I want you to audit your inputs. What are you consuming that's keeping your nervous system in a constant state of low-grade emergency? News you watch out of anxiety rather than information, or social media feeds that make you feel behind or angry or inadequate, conversations that drain you rather than fill. You cannot regulate an environment that is constantly dysregulating you. Cleaning up your input is not sticking your head in the sand, it's taking responsibility for the quality of data that your brain is working with. You want to change the spike of your depression? You want to get out of the rut? Fucking delete all of your social media for 7 days. Don't scroll your phone. Don't do any of that. Just put it away. And all of a sudden, you're going to have more gratitude. You're going to have more awareness. You're going to be more present. You're not happy? Start there. And the third one, this is one that I think matters most for anyone who is like me. Get your body right before you try to get your mind right. Like sleep, real food, movement, hydration. These are not luxuries. This is the biological prerequisite for a functioning prefrontal cortex. You cannot think your way to emotional regulation when your nervous system is running on caffeine and cortisol. The body has to come first every single time. 16 episodes in, and something has shifted, and I feel it. And the people showing up for this are not passive consumers. You guys are people who are done being managed. You're done being manipulated. You're done being told that your exhaustion is ambition and your reactivity is passion and that your depletion is the price of success. We all know better now. And the only thing I know, like I know, like I know, and I don't know a lot of shit, but the one thing I know is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth includes the truth about who you are, what you were made for, and what you refuse to keep giving your energy to. So please get regulated, get clear, get free. If this episode meant something to you, do the things. Like the show, subscribe, leave a written review. It takes a few minutes and it helps the right people find this at the exact moment that they need it. Head over to brandonlinette.com, okay? Get on my list, watch my full episodes, and subscribe to my YouTube channel because seeing it definitely hits different than just hearing it. And if you're ready to turn your mess into your message and build the podcast that has always been meant to exist, check the show notes to work with me, okay? Tell me your story. Tell me why you're the one who needs to be heard. I want to know what makes you special. You could come on my show and practice. Practice. It's that easy. Your feelings are valid. Your story matters, okay? Your feelings are valid. They just don't get to be in charge anymore.